Good morning. Little adjustments here. Okay, sometimes I have to on my tiptoes some places I go. So I found this morning that I have most of the men's names down. I just have to say, you're John, right? But I'm really glad to be here, and I'm really glad to get to know your pastor. And yes, we have actually 56 groups across the country. And we're so glad of what God's doing. We're going to be starting a group in Dover soon, Burlington. Those are some of the places. And our goal is to get pastors together in small groups. And sometimes I have a little pushback with people. What do you mean? Don't you want 50, 60? No, we want these guys to be intimately involved with one another. So I have a great lot of fun doing this ministry. It is fun. But I also hear a lot of heartbreak from time to time. But God is at work, and I'm glad for that. I remember I came to New England 20 years ago, and it was a desert here. And now I see so many things happening, and I'm so grateful for that. So we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. I hear it is your tradition to stand for the reading of God's word. So let's stand. I will take off my glasses to read. I do it the opposite. So let's read God's word, Philippians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And here Paul is writing, For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may be approved what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Let's pray. Father God, we're so glad to be in your presence this morning. You are the Lord God Almighty, who provided salvation for us through Christ Jesus our Lord. And now open our eyes, open our hearts, that we might receive what you have for us this morning, so that we might become more like Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. One night, Chuck Swindell could not sleep. And so he decided to do what probably many of you have done from time to time. He got up, went downstairs so he would not disturb his wife. Well, his wife suddenly realized that he was not in bed. She went downstairs to check on him. And when she saw him, she said this to him, "Who are you concerned about?" Notice she did not say, "What are you concerned about?" But, "Who are you concerned about?" Now, I would imagine that there are people in our congregation this morning who have that experience or have had that experience of being up late at night praying for another person, a wayward son, a sick relative, or a difficult situation. As God's people, we're people of prayer, right? Now, in Philippians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, we see Paul's prayer for the Philippians. Listen to how he begins this prayer. "For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more." Paul prays that they might grow in love for one another. It might grow more and more. Now, there's a reason why Paul gives this prayer. This church, the Philippian church, was facing some difficult situations. On the one hand, there were outsiders called the Judaizers. They were trying to infuse heresy into the church. On the other hand, there was conflict in the church between two ladies. Now, this pressure that Satan wanted to use could destroy their church. And yet Paul wanted them to grow in love for one another, because Paul understood it is our love for God and our love for one another that glues us together so that we can fulfill our God-given mission and stay strong. Now, throughout the Bible, we see God wants us to love one another. Remember the words in Psalm 133, verse 1. "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in" what? Unity. And of course, you can't have unity without love. And in the New Testament, we are instructed to love one another. In fact, we are told at least 12 times to love one another. And please understand, if we're told to do something 12 times, then, my friend, it must be very important. And Jesus tells us to love one another. Remember these words from John 15:34? A new commandment I give you, that you what? Love one another. Now, we often pray this prayer. Lord, if it is your will, please, and you fill in the blank. Now, if you are praying for your church to grow in love, then, my friend, I have good news for you. You are praying according to God's will. God wants you to grow in love for one another. And therefore, you have this confidence that God will answer your prayer. Isn't that cool? I love that. You don't have to worry, God, is it your will for us to love one another? Oh, God, will you answer our prayer? You just make the prayer, and he's going to answer that prayer. Now, this morning, we want to look then at how Paul prays that, how he wants the Philippians to grow in love for one another. And then you'll know how to pray for your congregation. For if you're in Christ Jesus, you want to grow in love for one another. Now, there's two things I want you to notice in this passage. First, Paul prayed that the Philippians might grow in their love for one another with knowledge. With knowledge. Did you catch that? With knowledge. Now, this might surprise you. We need to use our minds in how we love one another. We need to stop and raise this question to ourselves. Jesus, how do you want me to love them? How do you want us to love one another? Now, Paul wanted the Philippians to grow in their love for one another, and he wanted them to really raise the same question. How should we love one another? We don't want to just guess at how to love one another, right? We want to love one another the way Jesus wants us to love one another, and that requires knowledge. Look again at verse 9. It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge. With knowledge. Our love for one another should not be blind affection. Did you catch that? But we really need to think through and have that knowledge which enables us to really love one another correctly. Now, I'm hoping you're raising the question at this point. Okay, what is that knowledge we're supposed to have in order to love one another? Well, the answer is very simple, but it's not always so easy to practice. We need the knowledge of the cross. The knowledge of the cross. Now, listen very carefully. Please don't miss this. At the cross, we encounter our Lord's sacrificial love for his people. Jesus died on the cross to redeem his people from sin. Thus, as God's people, we are to express that same sacrificial love, that Christ-like love for one another. That's what it means to go to the cross and have the knowledge of the cross. The world's love is self-centered. What's in it for me? God's love is sacrificial. It's cross-centered. It's God. How do you want me to love the people around me? How can I do that in a way that pleases you? Now, every week I meet with a Christian businessman. And when you talk to him, you can't help but to realize he loves his employees. He sacrifices his profit to some degree for his employees. Every year he gives up part of his profits to make sure that they have adequate health insurance and even a retirement fund. He really loves them. And his employees can see that love in action. Isn't that kind of cool? He loves them. And because of his sacrifice, they know he loves them. I talk to his employees from time to time. I hear them, you won't believe what he did for me. He could have gone for the bottom line completely. He could have said, "It's my business. I'm getting all the profit I can." But he goes for what's best for his employees. Now, let me raise this question to you. Do you love one another with a sacrificial love? Now, if we were honest, we would confess that sometimes we deal with Christians that irritate us. Okay, don't raise your hand. I know you're out there. When we face a Christian that irritates us, we need to go to the cross. You see, if that person who irritates you is a Christian, then Jesus died for them. And if Jesus died for them, he loves them with a sacrificial love, right? And if Jesus loves them with a sacrificial love, then we should do the exact same thing. If we love each other with that sacrificial love, you know what's going to happen? We're going to practice the words found in John 13:35. "By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if what? You have love for one another." Well, there's a second thing I want you to notice in this passage. Paul prayed that the Philippians might grow in their love for one another with discernment. Discernment. First, knowledge. Second, discernment. Now, years ago, I watched a public school principal in action. She was amazing. She always knew how to be soft as velvet and as tough as nails. I saw her chew out a student and yet turn around and show love at the same time. She had discernment. I was not surprised to later on learn that she was a Christian. Paul wants the Philippians to grow in love. But it's not enough just to say, "I want to love with a sacrificial love." Now, catch this. This is important. I need to go one step further. I need to understand how to apply that love in all of my relationships of life. And my friend, that requires discernment. Let's read again verses 8 and 9. "For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that you might love one another with knowledge and with all discernment." This Greek word discernment means to have insight. Now, a Christian with discernment understands, yes, I'm supposed to love others with that sacrificial love, that Christ-like love for one another. But they go one step further. Okay, how do I apply that in my particular situation? They therefore run to God and ask for wisdom. Now, we all agree that we need wisdom on able to determine the difference between right doctrine and wrong doctrine, right? But this idea of using discernment on how to love one another might be new to you. Now, this is the reason why it's so important to love one another with discernment. One size does not fit all. One size does not fit all. Every Christian is at a different level of maturity. Every Christian is in a different situation. And we need wisdom. Okay, God, how can I love them with the love of Christ in a way that pleases you? Now, remember my friend who's a Christian businessman? Remember he gives up part of his profits every year to make sure his workers have adequate health insurance and even a retirement fund? I want you to know something else about my friend. He's a man of discernment. He doesn't just throw his finances to the wind. He asks God for wisdom. Let me give you an example. In one case, one of his faithful hard workers needed repair on the house. The man didn't have the money. My friend simply wrote out a check. Gift. Paid. In another case, he offered a loan to the man, another employee, if and only if he got help, knowing how to make up a budget. Because my friend understood that he had problems with his budget. He had discernment. He loves them, not with just knowledge, that sacrificial love, but discernment. If you're in Christ Jesus, you want to love one another with discernment, right? Let me give you four steps on how you can gain discernment. Are you ready? A, study how Jesus and the gospel related to different types of people. Study how Jesus and the Gospels related to different types of people. Jesus treated Nicodemus different from the rich young ruler. B, read the book of Proverbs on a regular basis. You'll gain wisdom. C, ask God for wisdom. And D, spend time with Christians who have discernment. But above all, grow closer to Jesus. The closer you get to Jesus, the more you'll have discernment. For Paul tells us in Colossians 2:3, that in Christ is all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, Friday, I was with a group of pastors, and I said to one pastor, you know, I really admire you. I really admire you. You've been in this church for 20 years. It's not the best situation. He could have gone somewhere else where he would have a staff. I mean, this guy is really talented and smart. I said, I really admire you. You've hung in for the past 20 years. Now, this is what he said to me. Dan, I love those people. I really, really, really love them. Let me ask you this morning, do you really, really, really love your fellow believers? Years ago, a family came to me for counseling. There was a lot of conflict between the father and the daughter. And the parents just didn't know what to do with this rebellious daughter. I listened. I usually take 2 sessions to listen. And then I turned to 1 Thessalonians 5:14. And I said, what you're doing is you're always assuming your daughter's rebellious. You really don't take time to find out what's really going on. And there are times maybe she is rebellious. But sometimes she's faint-hearted. And you miss it. Now, this man was in his 60s, and I was a very young pastor at that time, in my 40s, and I knew he had trouble taking advice from me. This young guy, I think he is, telling me what I need to do. And I knew what was going to happen. He went home and he dumped what I said, and conflict continued. Finally, his wife said to him after a conflict with his daughter, would you please, please go practice what Dan wanted you to do? All right. He went in the den, shut the door. He sat and listened. And he learned. She wasn't rebellious. She needed encouragement. Half hour later, the door opened, and they became the best of friends. He used knowledge, went to the cross, and used discernment. Now, your pastor has not said anything to me negative about you. Everything he said to me about you has been positive, okay? So I don't know what goes on here, okay? I don't know if there's any problems. I don't know if there's a conflict. I remember going to one church, and a lady met me in the back and said, how did you know? And my response is, ma'am, I just preach God's word. I don't know anything. Okay? But will you please take time this morning? And will you go to the cross this morning? And will you go to God and say, God, show us as a congregation to love each other more and more and more with that knowledge of the cross and discernment. Now, I meet people every week who claim to be believers who don't go to church. You know why they don't go to church? They've been deeply hurt. Now, I realize I'm only hearing from them one side of the story. But some of the stories I find out are true. People rush in and don't show love. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. A lot of theology in what we call children's books or children's hymns. He loves you. Will you please now ask the Spirit of God to show that same love to the people around you? Oh yeah, you'll blow it. I blow it. Yes, we get irritated. We sometimes say, boy, you think as Christian they would do things differently. But when you think through, Lord Jesus, open my eyes so I know how to love them the way you love them. Will you please do me a big favor right now? Will you just now in silence go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to show you how to love the people around you? And then I'll close. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That love which was shown to us from Calvary. Help us now to love one another with the love that you've given to us, so that the world might see that we belong to you, that we are your people, and may they see that we continue to grow in you and to please you and walk before you. We thank you for all these things. In Christ's name we pray.